Thanks for spending time with Fusion Community Church through our podcast. These can be accessed anytime through iTunes or on our website, fusioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you enjoy today's message from Pastor Andrew Fetter.
Adversity in life, isn't there? There's barriers, there's walls we face that need broken through, and sometimes we kind of feel that we're incapable or we lack power or ability to be able to press through. Sometimes like a race. You know, I don't know if you're a runner. I'm not much of a runner. I run short distances when I have to, and hopefully I'm never in a situation where I have to run for my life, because I would not survive. But life is a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's long. It requires endurance. It requires perseverance. It requires patience. And if we don't have endurance or perseverance or patience, then there'll be situations in life where we'll be given the opportunity to learn those, won't we? There's days on the course of the race when it's beautiful and sunny, and then there's days where it's windy and cold and snow is blowing everywhere. Days we can predict, and days that are unpredictable. Meteorologists remind us of that. Days where we feel like we're breaking down in life, and other days where we feel like we're on the verge of breaking through. We're in the second week of this short series we called I Need a Breakthrough. For many of us, we're ready for a breakthrough in the weather. You know, it's been cold, it's been snowy. We're ready for a breakthrough. We're ready for the sun to return, for the warmth. We're ready for the days to get longer, which is just a couple of weeks away until we move those clocks ahead again. And we're waiting for that. But yet there's others in the room that love to be on those skis, love to be on the snowmobile. And for you, feel like it's a breakthrough winter because you've had extended periods of time to play in the snow. See, the breakthrough concept is really in the eyes of the beholder, because we all have a different perspective. It's relative based upon our own experience and where we're at. Sometimes for us, the wall we're trying to break through is the wall that somebody else has been dying to crumble. If you weren't here last week, today you might feel like you're a little bit behind with what we talked about, because having 30 or 40 minutes on a given Sunday is just not really enough time to really dive back into last week. We kind of treat Sundays kind of like a journey that we're on, and it's stage one and stage two and stage three. We kind of build on where we've been most recently. And so I strongly encourage you, if you've never utilized this tool or discovered it, we record every message. We post it on the internet through podcasting. You can access it through iTunes, or you can go to our website and find links there where you can listen on a computer, a tablet, a mobile device. And for those of you that are really, really old school, you can even on the back of your communication card jot down a certain week that you'd like to get a CD of, and we'll make those available. So if you need a CD, a cassette tape, an 8-track, a record, let us know. And in about 6 months, we'll have one Sunday converted to 8-track for you. So take advantage of those tools so that you can stay connected on those weeks where for many reasons you can't be with us. But last week, as we kicked off this series, we mentioned how all of us have experienced breakdowns in life, where it seemed like everything around us was crumbling, and we've experienced breakthroughs where it seemed like everything was going our way. Kind of equated it to a roller coaster, didn't we? The ups and downs of life, wishing we could see the hills before they come, wishing we could get that warning of the tick, 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 tick before the big drop. But that's not how life works. I shared in January how Kaylee broke through one of her fears and rode a roller coaster for the very first time. She had no idea how to analyze a roller coaster, how high was too high, how fast was too fast. So she didn't know what it would bring, but she broke through that fear eventually and loved it. She didn't back down, but she broke through. We looked at this idea of breakthroughs and we asked, are you where you want to be in your life? Have you arrived? Have you exhausted your bucket list? Or are there more things you want to experience? Are there more summits in life you want to reach? Are there more challenges that you want to face? Are there greater levels of health, of faith, that you want all relationships in your life to discover? I think all of us could say, because we've pressed through the harsh morning this morning and the cold to be here today, that we could all say, yes, we want more. We want more in life, we want more of Christ, we want more in our faith, we want more in our relationships, more in our family, we want more in our careers, we want more levels of satisfaction and contribution to the world around us, we want greater passion within our lives for the things that matter to God. And last week we took a look at the Apostle Paul and we shared what he shared about his own life, his own testimony in Philippians chapter 3, and we kind of broke down what a breakthrough looks like. Let's revisit that here this morning. Paul writes to the church in Philippi. Now, he says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. See, the first step in this breakthrough, he's saying, be honest about where you're at. Be honest about where you're coming from, where you're at. That's the first step towards breakthrough. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else. All the other trophies that the rest of the world seeks, I've set those aside. All the other things that everybody else says matters, all the other stuff of life that people spend a lifetime trying to fill that void in their life, he says, it's all worthless, counting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ, become one with him. I no longer count on my own abilities, my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteousness through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends not on our own performance, but on faith. Then he says, he kind of captures, he says, I want to know Christ. He has this hunger that drives him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I'll experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. I've not, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I expect more. I expect that God is doing more in me. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, forget the past, and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race. I move forward one step at a time and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He says that this breakthrough path begins first with an honest assessment of where you're at, where you're coming from, what you've experienced up till now. To begin to evaluate, was I focused on what God's word has said is true, or was I focusing on what maybe was modeled to me by parents or grandparents? Am I focusing on what God's word says to me is the plan for life to be obedient to? Or have I been living life kind of just emotional, and every day determines how obedient I am? It begins with an honest assessment of where you're at, and then the second step is a hunger to know Christ more. Just an appetite that becomes insatiable to know and to just wrap your mind and your heart and your spirit more around Jesus with this deep belief that God has more for you, this expectation. You can't see it or touch it or taste it or measure it, but you believe to the core of who you are that God has more for you. You have to move beyond the past. Next week, we're going to talk about this, how Paul was forgetting the past, not only the failures, but even the successes. He was not satisfied to live upon the successes of yesterday or the faith steps of yesterday, but he wanted to blaze forward into the future, taking new faith steps, following God into new unknown territory so that he could experience the next breakthrough. But there are things in life. There's something that causes many of us in different seasons not to pursue those breakthroughs. There's an enemy to breakthroughs because experiencing them is not easy. It's not something that comes naturally, isn't it? It's something that we have to remain focused on. It's something that we have to continue to have an appetite for, an appetite for growth. For instance, your family doesn't magically just get closer in relationships to one another. Your family just doesn't magically begin to forgive each other for the things that you shouldn't have said and the things that you shouldn't have done to each other. In fact, what happens naturally is the opposite, right? People drift apart. That without focus and intentionality, without the work required to improve the intimacy of family relationships, it doesn't happen unless you work at it. Your finances don't magically get healthier unless you have a plan. And it's hard work to have a plan so that you can dig yourself out of debt or so that you can put together a plan for your spending known as a budget so that you can honor God with everything he's entrusted to you and you can be wise with that so God will entrust to you more to be wise with. Your career opportunities or your business don't just magically get better so long as you show up from the time you're supposed to be there. No, you've got to be committed to work hard to give it your best, to get better, and to perform at your highest capacity. And if you're married, you know that marriage does not just magically draw two people together. In fact, typically what happens is in the courting stage, We put the other person ahead of ourselves because we're getting to know them and discover them. And then once we get married, we begin to get lazy and complacent. And we begin to think that person exists for us. What are you going to do to meet my needs? Marriage takes work, takes sacrifice. And it takes an insatiable desire to continue to learn to communicate effectively to each other. See, a breakthrough is a moment where something kind of breaks loose and you move to another level. Or maybe a better way to say it is you move to another layer, a deeper layer in life that you didn't even know existed. In fact, today that's kind of where we're gonna hang out. We're going to talk about the law of the onion. You may not know this, but the law of the onion puts into practice this idea that we live life in layers. There's different layers of life. You might even call them habits or patterns in life, but I like to think in images. So as you can kind of see on the screen, here's an onion broke down into many layers. So far in your life, you've probably experienced some layers, but I would challenge you that God's word says that you haven't experienced them all, that God has deeper layers for you to live your life at. And it's a breakthrough that leads to the next layer of life. See, life is like an onion. And this is why breakthroughs are so important, because that is the catalyst to the next layer God has for us. Some of us find ourselves here this morning, even today. From the outside, everything looks good. From someone on the outside looking in, they may think that we have the perfect life, and yet there's some level of dissatisfaction with where our lives are right now. And chances are that's probably because you've stopped pursuing a breakthrough to the next layer. We grow comfortable, we can grow complacent, we get lazy as human beings. And complacency is always the enemy of the next breakthrough. In our relationships, with our finances, with our careers, with the way we pursue God, some of us, we have to just be honest with God about where we're at today and admit that we've gotten lazy in some of these areas. Because until we get honest about where we are, then we can't move to step two of developing this hunger for Jesus. Until we have this relentless pursuit of the more and better life God promises us, until we break out of the complacency and laziness, we're not going to experience another breakthrough. We're just going to continue to live life dissatisfied with where we're at. And as a result of that complacency, we just don't experience breakthroughs. Maybe you come to church on Sundays, week in and week out, as often as you possibly can. And maybe you feel like every Sunday when you come through the doors, your tank is running on empty. So you come through the doors and you just feel like you need to get a fill up on spiritual energy. You don't even really know how to explain it, but when you're here, you just feel filled up to overflowing, and you're hoping as you leave today that you had to be here in the midst of the cold because you need your tank filled up so that you can make it through the next week. Maybe you pray and pray and pray each week that God would change your life, that He'd change your situations, that He'd change, alter your circumstances. What it is that you're going through, maybe you've been praying that way for weeks and weeks and weeks, and maybe things aren't getting better. Maybe you're frustrated because you come and you get your tank filled and then it's depleted again. I would challenge you, God has so much more in His relationship with you than just to live a Sunday to Sunday life as a follower of Jesus. God wants you to experience and to reveal to you what it looks like to have a day in and day out, moment by moment, relationship with Jesus, where your tank is satisfied not by coming to church, not by the music, not by a message, but by His presence in your life. See, Jesus promises us more and better life, more abundant life. He does indeed give us more and better life through a relationship with Him. But the truth is, we can't just pray and pray and pray and not do anything about it. As we pray, God in relationship with us has expectations and challenges to stretch us to break through to the next level. That's what Paul's saying in Philippians 3. Life is lived in layers. He says, I thought righteousness was one thing. I thought doing all the right things for the right people, saying the right things in the right group, that God would be pleased with me. But then I had a breakthrough. I went to the next layer of life, and now that I see that pursuit is worthless compared to knowing Christ, and that led me to another breakthrough, that if this life is this good just knowing Christ, then I want to know Christ even more. I want Him to absorb every area of my life. In fact, that led me to the next breakthrough, that I want to discover everything God designed me for, everything God's redeemed me for through Jesus, and that led to another breakthrough. I'm forgetting the past. I'm walking away from the successes and failures of yesterday, and I'm moving forward, expecting God to challenge me even more. Moving forward, believing God has more for me than all that I've experienced. I mean, this is Paul, the guy that's writing the Bible, and he says, I believe God has even more for me yet. See, faith is a journey. It's kind of peeling back the layers of life, slowly, one breakthrough at a time. And when you find yourself facing this giant that seems insurmountable, overwhelming, this beast standing in front of you that you know you don't have the power to overcome, it's in those moments where that appetite for a breakthrough becomes the most intense. And it's the good chance is that God is presenting you with this barrier as an opportunity for you to grow as you face down that beast, as your faith peels back another layer to trust Him. Life is an onion, but God's an onion too. See, God is many, 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 many layers deep, isn't He? And we've not exposed all the layers of God. You've not tapped out the divine. You've not discovered all that there is to know about God. In fact, what I discover is it seems like the next layer I peel back, it helps me to just realize that there are so many more layers than I will never, ever begin to reach. I said last week that, you know, that God is vast like an ocean, and the best mankind has ever done is snorkeled the very surface of who God is. I'm incapable of plumbing the depths of my divine creator. And yet the more I get closer to Him, the more overwhelmed I feel by that realization that there are so many more layers that I'll never be able to reach. Because His love for me, His love for you is more. His grace over you is more, that He extends to you. His mercy made new every day is more than what you've experienced. His joy is more. The power that He's placed within you, within me as followers of Jesus is just more. His peace is more. His presence in our lives is so much more. There's so much more of God that we can ever begin to imagine. And this is why we can expect more from Him, because we can never plumb the depths of God. He's like an onion with infinite layers. So not only is life like an onion, not only is God like an onion, but you're like an onion too. And you've not discovered all the layers that God created you with. You've not exposed or been put in circumstances where you have really gotten down to the core of what you're capable of. You've not gotten to the place where there's no more room left for you to grow. And I believe there's somebody here today, you're ready to turn your back and give up on some area of life. You're ready to walk away, you've just had enough. You think you've reached the maximum, the limit of what you're capable of, whether it's at the job or whether it's with your boss or whether it's with a certain neighbor and their behavior, whether it's with one of your kids, and you're just tempted to just say, that's it, I've got to just walk away. Maybe it's on your marriage. Maybe there's even somebody here today you're ready to give up on life. You don't think anybody cares. Nobody's involved. Nobody would miss you. You believe all those lies. That you don't have enough strength. That you're out of patience. That you're hopeless. That you have nothing left. But that's a lie. See, you're an onion. God has put more tough in you than you've ever exercised. He's put more resiliency in you than you've ever dug deep enough to discover. He's put more patience available to you. Your capacity for patience hasn't even begun to be exhausted yet. He's put more talent and ability in you than you've ever mined to find out what you're capable of, what passion you're capable of. And you've got to know this. You've got to believe this in those moments where you feel tempted to quit, to give up, to walk away, to stop moving forward against the barrier you face and experience the next breakthrough. Paul says, get honest. Get honest with where you're at. Get hungry for Jesus. Expect God has so much more for you than you could possibly wrap your mind around. Forget what's happened in the past. Forget the hurts of the past, the pain of the past, the wounds of the past, and move forward into God's preferred future for your life. In order to do that, you've got to change the way that you think in those moments where you feel trapped, where you feel chained to the past. Jesus promises that the old you is dead, that He's bringing forth new life. You know, we talk about this all the time, and it can't get old to us as following Jesus. He says we're a masterpiece. He says we are moldable, shapeable clay in the hands of the potter, the divine designer, that He has a plan and a future for you, that before you were in your mom's womb, He had a design for you. Whatever it is you're facing, it's not over. It's not bigger than Him. There's more that God has put in you, more capacity than you've ever discovered. In fact, Jesus kind of gave us some specifics of this in His own words in the Gospel of John, when He's meeting with His believers just a mere hours before He would be arrested and begin the process towards Calvary. After the moment when we begin a relationship with Jesus, Jesus says this to His followers about what happens, about what it is that God puts within us that gives us this capability and capacity for more than we ever imagined. In John 14, He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Man, what a big statement for Jesus to make. The guy that did miracles. The guy that raised the dead. The guy that brought his own life back. The guy that carried the cross for us. You'll do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate. The Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now and later will be with you. Jump into verse 18. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the whole world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. Verse 25, 26. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything, remind you of everything I've told you. Then He gets very specific with one piece of what God will plant within them. This is, I believe, one specific application of the power of the Holy Spirit within us. This doesn't capture everything the Holy Spirit does. It's Jesus drawing attention to one thing the Holy Spirit does. He says, in fact, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you'd be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. So that when they take place, it will cause your faith to rise, your belief to increase, for you to go to the next layer in your understanding and experience your relationship with Jesus Christ. See, God's put more in you than you've ever discovered. Many, many, many more layers in your life that you've never experienced. And if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, the promise Jesus points to here is that God's put the Holy Spirit inside of us. This is that power of God that gives us the ability to endure beyond the limits of when most people do give up and walk away. And if you're in right relationship with God, not because of your performance, because of faith, if you're in right relationship with God through Christ and your faith in Jesus Christ, then God's Holy Spirit exists within you to press beyond the limits of when everybody else might be willing to give up. In fact, in the very next chapter in the book of Philippians, kind of jumping back to the letter that we were reading last week and today in chapter 3, if you go to chapter 4, it's pretty awesome because right at the very beginning of chapter 4, he draws attention to a conflict between two women in the church there in Philippi. Remember that throughout Paul's letters, he's writing to specific churches in specific regions, to specific people that he knows in those churches in those regions. And they still have application to us today. But he draws attention in the beginning of chapter 4 to two women in that church that were having a conflict. And he speaks very, very firm words, says, hey, it's time to knock it off. God has given you an ability. He's put His Holy Spirit within you to work through this, to forgive, to extend grace. There's no reason for you to be in disagreement any longer. It's time to kind of raise up, to go to the next layer, and it's time to work through it. It's time to forgive. He challenges them to dig deep and settle this dispute. In essence, Paul's saying, you know, God's put more forgiveness in you than you've yet begun to tap into. So it's time to go deeper, a layer deeper. And then if you jump to verse 13, Philippians 4, 13, probably for some in this room, your life verse, the favorite verse for you in all of Scripture, he says, as kind of an overarching principle, says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You have a capacity you've not reached. You may even have a calling from God that you've not yet discovered that's a couple more layers deep. Do you want to leave this world failing to ever experience that in God's calling upon your life? You have a role as a Jesus follower, a faith level you've never reached, as a husband that you've never discovered, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter that you've never explored. There's a breakthrough in your relationship with others as a friend that God is calling you to another layer deep. As a brother or a sister, within your biological family or within the church family, maybe as a leader, there's a layer God has not yet tapped in you. Maybe you've been complacent. Maybe you've been insecure and don't see yourself as a leader. Maybe God's saying, hey, it's time to put that aside because I've put this inside of you and I want to bring it forth. But you're allowing your own perspective to get in your way of what I see when I've designed you. There's a depth of sacrifice you've not yet discovered. Oh yeah, but Federer, you don't know my story. Surely there can't be more. I guarantee you there is. There's a depth of forgiveness that you've not yet reached. There's a level of faith rising that you've never experienced, that I've never experienced. A reliability to those around you, a level of honor, a level of character or integrity, a level of worship, a level of surrender, a layer that we've never experienced because we're promised we can do everything through Christ who gives us strength. So if there's more layers in God than we've ever discovered, and there's more layers God has put within us that we've never discovered, and if you're a Jesus follower and God's Spirit dwells within you, then that means that with the presence of God's Holy Spirit, you truly can do everything. This is what that means. If God has more love than we could ever exhaust, and His Holy Spirit lives within us, that means we're capable of more love for those people that don't deserve it than we've ever experienced or given out. If God has more peace, even with the state of our world, even with the state of people far from Him, if God has more peace than we could ever explain and His Holy Spirit's within us, then that means in our darkest hour, His presence in our lives can be so overwhelming that that can be the greatest public testimony of God's presence in our lives is our level of peace in our faith, that not just that everything is under my control, but that all of creation is under God's control. If God has more forgiveness to extend to the worst of the worst of the worst human being you could possibly imagine on the planet, and His Holy Spirit exists within us, then that means we have the capacity to forgive beyond any limit we've ever begun to reach at any point prior in our lives. And if God has more power than we can even begin to wrap our minds around, then in those moments when you face the temptation to sin, when you face that enemy that seems larger than you, God's Holy Spirit in you can remind you that that same power is in you, the power that is beyond any limits to resist the temptation, to stand in the face of that enemy, to resist. See, this is why when your life's placed under the lordship of Jesus Christ, when He's number one, when He's on the throne of your life, someone can stab you in the back at work and you can still work alongside them. Someone in your family can say something to you that wounds you deeply, but you can still move forward in relationship with that person. Someone can sin against you in a hurtful way, and you can begin the process of healing and forgiveness, whether they ever confess it or not. And a relationship can be resurrected from the dead. Why? Because our God is the God of resurrection. When all hope seems lost, when the limits have seem far extended beyond anything that's possible, we have the God that can do the impossible. This is why a marriage that's firmly planted under the lordship of Jesus Christ first has the capacity to love, to be at peace, to extend forgiveness, and has the power to withstand the deepest attacks of the enemy beyond the limits of what in most marriages in our culture, they're ready to call things off and for things to blow up. Far beyond most relationships in our world with far less emotional resiliency and relational resiliency than those whose marriages rest under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the essence of a relationship with Christ. He empowers us. He extends His presence into us. He challenges us. He equips us and He convicts us. Conviction is another process by which God leads us to the next breakthrough. Some of us have grown lazy in our conviction. We've grown lazy in our desire for repentance, and we've begun to justify our sin, thinking, well, I think God's okay with it. We change His word. God's conviction can be the catalyst to the next breakthrough in your life. If you don't respond to His conviction and begin to trust Him as Lord again and to live under the obedience of His word, you won't experience the next breakthrough. See, there's things in our lives that only God can do. But the thing we often forget, we pray and pray and pray and ask God to change it and ask God to change it, change our circumstances, our situations, make our lives better, and I believe Jesus wants to. There's certain things only God can do, but yet there's also certain things that only we can do, that God will not do for us. See, God creates the soil. I can't create soil. Maybe you can, but I can't. But God won't plow the soil for me, right? We have to plow the soil. If we want to eat, we have to plow the soil. Then I plant the seed, but I don't design the seed. I can't create a seed. God's the one that creates a seed. So I go and I buy seeds and I plant them. And if it's an onion, as we've been talking about onions, I learned this week that an onion seed can't be planted too deep or can't be planted too shallow or it just won't work. So it takes focus in the planting. It takes intentionality. It takes education or it won't grow. So I've got to get better if I want the yield or the harvest to be better. But then I can't grow the thing. I don't know how to do that. I can't speed up the process. I can't plan it in the morning, take a nap, and then that night eat the onion. No, I've got to just trust God in the process. He's the one that grows it. We can't hurry it up. What do we have to do? We have to wait, and we have to weed. Let's be honest. We hate waiting and weeding, don't we? Waiting and weeding is no fun. That's part of the world in which God has designed for us. It's often in the waiting and the weeding where the greatest level of growth takes place in us, in our walk with God. We have to, through discipline, through attentiveness, through sacrifice, protect that seed from being strangled out, corrupted by the weeds. We can't hurry it up. There's no microwave process. We simply have to wait, and we have to choose to submit and align ourselves with how God has created creation, to submit to Him for the journey. As God takes a seed and does what only God can do, and He grows, He transforms a seed into an onion. Only God can do that. Until the day comes when the onion can be harvested, but God doesn't harvest it. He doesn't clean it up. He doesn't slice it and put it on your salad. That's what He expects me to do. That's only what I can do, to harvest the onion. See, throughout this journey, breakthroughs happen, where we discover that there is far more of God, and He has put far more within me. That I discover that there's more of God, and that leads me to the next breakthrough, where I discover, wow, God's even put more within me. I don't think 3 years ago I could have done what I'm doing now. I don't think I could have believed Him as I'm believing Him now in the midst of where I'm going. That's called transformation. That's taking soil, planting a seed in it, the seed dying and transforming into something that can be harvested and utilized. See, I believe God's word promises that He wants to give us more and better life. In John 10, Jesus is very clear about it. But here's the principle found throughout Scripture. God gives it to us by growing it in us. See, we show up at church on Sunday, we hope everything's going to be good by Tuesday. We show up to church 3 or 4 weeks in a row and we think, yeah, God, transform this, change this. God, You have the power to do it. And we forget that God gives to us by growing it in us. The principle of stewardship. He entrusts a little to us as we're faithful with that. He blesses us with more. There's some things that only He can do, but there's other things that only I can do. See, You're the one that chooses whether you forge ahead with faith or you quit and give up. You're the one that chooses to trust Him in the midst of the storm or to abandon Him. You're the one that chooses to believe, that for your faith to go a layer deeper, for it to rise, or to lose faith and turn your back. You're the one that chooses who you surround yourself with, whether they speak into your life, directing and encouraging you in that relentless pursuit of God, or whether you surround yourself with people that you just like, but they're of no spiritual use for you, that they're actually detracting from you pursuing God and experiencing the next breakthrough. You're the one that chooses whether you invite temptation into your life and you put yourself in environments and atmosphere where you constantly tend to give in rather than make hard decisions and discipline yourself to stay away from those temptations. You're the one that makes us wise choices or foolish choices. All of us could give illustrations of both sides of that. Only You can choose to be pure or choose to be impure. Only You can choose to obey or disobey what God lays out in His word that leads to the more and better life. Only You can choose to follow your heart and your emotions into your decisions or to follow His word with discipline and focus into your decisions. And I'm the only one that can choose what I listen to, what I read, and what I watch that will influence what I truly believe about God, about faith, about love, about relationships, about sacrifice and what's truly beautiful. See, only God's the only one that can save me. He's the only one that can save you. But I'm the only one that can choose to lay down my life for others. Only God can do the impossible, but He expects us to do what's possible with faith and expectation that He's going to show up and do even more. Only God can transform. But we're the ones that choose to pursue relentlessly His ever-transforming work that is a lifelong journey. For just a few moments, would you just bow your head and close your eyes? Ron's going to come up and begin to play. We're going to close with a song at the end of the message here this morning. But in light of all this, if I had one goal, I'd try to not stand on this platform each Sunday without a goal in mind. What's the one thing I want to convey? My one thing to convey to you today is I hope that you see through this. God wants everything for you. It's not that He wants anything from you. Jesus' life, His death, His resurrection is all for you. The more and better life God offers is all for you. When you look at all the promises of God throughout Scripture, those are all things He promises for us. And when we begin to put all those things He wants for us and kind of collect them together, and if we could just kind of fill a dump truck with them, the few things He asks from us is actually to guide us into blessing us with more. It's to be wise stewards of our lives, of our resources, of our talents and abilities. As we just sang, it's giving glory to God in word, thought, and deed with everything He's put at our disposal. Everything God asks from us in obedience leads us to the next breakthrough. And when we begin to believe a lie, that if I say yes to God here, that I won't get to experience this piece of the life that I've always wanted, we have to face the reality that that is our flesh deceiving us. That is the enemy of God deceiving us to compromise and to not believe that God's way leads to more and better life. Only God can transform, but it's up to us to make the choice to relentlessly pursue the ever-transforming work of His Holy Spirit within us that is a lifelong relationship. To be called the redeemed of God is to recognize the reality that God has put more within you than you've ever discovered. Don't allow your insecurities to hold you back from that. Don't allow your past failures to hold you back from that. And don't allow your laziness or complacency or where you think you're safe in your faith to hold you back from that. But press on one layer deeper. What breakthrough does God have for you to take? Is it in the area of faith? Maybe you're here today and you'd say, I don't really know where I stand with God. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. Well, the promise I've spoke of today, the Holy Spirit being present in your life, is not a reality for you until you establish that relationship. Jesus does not force His way in. He does not manipulate you or coerce you. He makes His grace available to you if you choose. God has done all the hard work, but He will not invade your life until you invite Him to dwell within your heart and your soul. And all it takes is just saying, yes, God, I believe. I believe in Your Son, that He died and rose again. I believe that He paid the penalty for my sin, of which I have many, and I receive Your forgiveness. There's no magic words. There's nothing you got to do except the heart of belief, to believe that it's true. It's through faith we're made right with God. For others of us here, your breakthrough, the barrier you're facing is a relationship issue. It's been a toxic relationship for as long as you can remember, and some of it's your fault, and some of it's the other person's fault, and some of it is the fault of both of you for not pressing through to forgiveness. Maybe it's a pride issue. Whenever there's a pride issue, somebody has to go first with humility. Are you ready to break through to the next layer in the relationship, to be humble, say you're sorry? You ready to just forgive? Whether they ever ask you for forgiveness or not, are you ready to free yourself from holding on to vengeance against that person? That's really what forgiveness does. It releases you from thinking you're God, removes a lie from your mind. Some of us here, it's a financial issue. You know that you're out of control with spending, but you're afraid of what someone might think of you if you ask for help. That's pride. That's the barrier presenting the next breakthrough and the next layer of life, the next layer of faith. Reach out and ask for help. Don't allow the enemy to have victory in that area of your life just because of pride. Maybe you know that you need a budget, but you know what? You're just scared of what you're going to have to stop spending money on in order to bring things under control. That's the carnal desire of your flesh. Don't allow that to be the barrier that prevents God's abundant blessing in your life, trusting you with more. Reach out and ask someone for help. Maybe there's someone here, you're dealing with an emotional barrier. Maybe it's been something that's been plaguing you for a really long time, and you really have to step back and ask, do I really believe God is good? Do I really believe that God is good? Or are you just overwhelmed with feelings that He's not, that you can't trust Him, that He's going to let bad things happen to you? Are your emotions based upon who He says He is in His Word? Are your emotions based upon these fears that you've conjured up in your own imagination? That everything's going to fall apart if you really trust God. That if you really entrust your emotional health to Him. Maybe you're overwhelmed with anxiety or worry, and God wants you to experience a breakthrough. See, God wants to do what only He can do, but you've got to do what only you can do. And it's going to require that you begin to change the way that you think, to align yourself with who God says He is in His Word, that He is good, that He's beautiful, that He can be trusted, that He is never changing. What breakthrough is it that you're on the verge of? If you would just be honest with where you're at, if you would just seek God more passionately than you ever have before, if you would expect more, not only more from God, but expect and believe that there's more capacity and capability within you than you can begin to imagine or experience so far in your life. Are you ready to forget the past, to put it aside, the success and failure of what you've done and what you've experienced, and move forward into God's preferred future? You'll go another layer deep, I promise you that. But God will give it to you by growing it in you.